welcome to Trippy Politics, Protest, and
Potpourri.
I'm your host, Corey Elia, and as always, my co-host,
Leslie McLam.
Okay, so for our episode today, we have a special guest, Professor Wes Pope. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, yeah, my name's Wes Pope. I'm an associate professor and the co-director of the multimedia journalism program here at the University of Oregon, based in downtown Portland. Live here in Portland, he, him, his pronouns.
Actually, not many people realize that University of Oregon has a satellite campus here. So maybe go into detail exactly what the multimedia program is and like where we're located.
Yeah, it's we've been here. The multimedia journalism program launched in 2012, and the University of Oregon has had a presence in Portland for a lot longer than that. But in, I think it was about 12 to 15 years ago, they started transition to this building that we're in. We're in the Whitestag block, in Old Town. And so University of Oregon has created essentially a small campus here, Allied Arts and Architecture, Business School, Law School, School of Journalism and Communication are all have programs that are located here. We have two master's programs in SOJC. One of them is Strategic Communications, and then the one that I'm part of is Multimedia Journalism. And so we, as I said, we started that. We started that 10 years ago. We first launched that program. And
so why do you think that it is important that the University of Oregon have a multimedia campus in Portland?
So the idea behind this program was it was a different time back then in the early aughts, when a donor decided to, you know, saw that journalism was struggling, which it's continuing to struggle, and we had a donor give funding for this program with the idea that we would train journalists, working journalists, to add multimedia skills to what they were already doing. And so that was the original idea behind this program. So the idea that somebody's already working in journalism would learn video, audio, photography, other skills, and essentially try to save journalism. So that was the initial idea behind the program. Right from the start, by the time it took essentially 5 years to launch the program. And so by the time the program launched in 2012, already that idea was getting a little bit dated in terms of, you know, there've been a lot of layoffs in journalism. And so we've seen throughout the time that I've been here, there are every year a handful of students that are coming from capital J journalism, maybe two or three or four students that come through that are working at journalistic outlets. And we certainly, we love those students, and we help them add new skills. But what we see are a larger number of students who are working outside of what you would consider traditional journalism outlets. A lot of them are, I would say the majority are working directly, maybe nothing to do with journalism, are working for organizations, NGOs, working for corporations, doing storytelling, multimedia storytelling, but not necessarily focused on journalism. And so our students are, have been very successful at getting jobs working in those other industries. But in terms of journalism jobs, there are not so many of them, as you know.
What drew you to this program to be a part of it?
So I worked for more than 15 years primarily as a photojournalist. I grew up outside of Seattle. I worked, one of the first places I worked was in Tacoma. I worked at the Tri-City Herald. And then I moved around the country. I worked at the Chicago Tribune. I worked at the Rocky Mountain News. I was at the Santa Fe New Mexican. Basically, couldn't hold a job. I just kept moving around.
I tend to see that as gaining a lot more and variety of experience and gaining more perspectives, especially since you've been East Coast, West Coast. I mean, you've been in the Pacific Northwest. You've been down in the Southwest. I see that as being more well-rounded in perspective rather than limited to a very small community mindset.
Yes. No, it's been an amazing journey. I joke about that. I think I do, after 2 or 3 years, I do start to get a little bit itchy to go someplace else.
The wanderlust.
So I had a tendency to move around, but it was an incredible experience to get to go to all these places and go see these amazing things that you don't get to see any other way. As a journalist, you get to be in these communities and be welcomed in. Not always welcomed in as a journalist, but often I would find myself in these amazing places where people would just take me in and let me observe and document. So that was what I did. But there came a time around the early 2000s where journalism started to sort of fall apart. And I was the Chicago Tribune when they were about to go bankrupt, and I could see things were not looking great. And so I applied and got a job at the Rocky Mountain News. And then I was there for 7 months, and they went out of business. The oldest newspaper west of the Mississippi River, just weeks short of its 150th birthday, completely disappeared. So at that point, I realized, okay, this is enough trying to chase after journalism. I'm going to go back to film school. So I went back to study documentary filmmaking at Syracuse and did that for a couple years with the idea that I was going to go teach. So this is a very long answer. I'm sorry.
This is actually great. It makes me think of more questions such as, you know, what sort of stories are your favorite from being a journalist that you got real practical experience that you pass on to your students? And now the same with the documentary filmmaking. What are some of the things and some of the experiences you had that you tend to carry forward and teach to the next generation?
So to close the loop on the first question, after Syracuse, I taught for 1 year at Northern Arizona, and then this position opened up, and I just got very lucky to get this position. I had spent my whole career trying to essentially get back to the Northwest and was never able to find a job back here, and this position opened up, and so I'm back. You know, I have still lots of family in the Northwest, and it's dear to my heart being back here, being from here. So that's how I wound up here. The question about my favorite stories on that journey as a journalist, one of the most significant things I got a chance to work on when I was at the Chicago Tribune, Blair Kamen did a series about the Chicago Lakefront, which ended up winning a Pulitzer Prize, but I got to spend the entire summer for 3 months just going up and down the Chicago Lakefront, documenting what he was talking about, and what I think even more than winning awards that project encompassed that was so important. It was looking at things at a systemic level, so it was looking at systemic racism that had been applied for generations in Chicago, where the city had spent millions of dollars over the years maintaining the north side, which is where the white population lives, and then where the black and brown people live, had let the lakefront just go completely to dust. And so Blair documented this in many different ways and just showed the lack of investment on the south side and the disparity and really made a strong case for those public spaces and maintaining those public spaces. And really it was an incredible piece of work that just showed, you know, that when journalism is at its best, I think it works at a level that is looking at things at a systemic level, at a policy level. We a lot of the work we do is, you know, at an individual level, but you can only get so far. And there are not that many times in my career where I've got to see it work at that level. So that's something that I always point to and I try to share with my students. You know, how can we step back a little bit further and look at what are the underlying policies and issues that are at place here, and how can we have a larger discussion and not just focus on the individual. So that's one example. In terms of other, you know, favorite stories throughout my career, I'd have to hit pause and think about it for a little while. But you know, some of the things I got to do in New Mexico were it's such an amazing state, and all of the different cultures that are there, and the way that they mix, and the places I was invited to go. I just got to have a ticket to go like see things and be invited into people's lives and places and just see worlds that I didn't know existed. So
it's like a sense of adventure and exploration and learning all at the same time.
I think so. I was a cultural anthropology major as an undergrad, and I think it's that just being able, you know, as much as possible to be a fly on the wall and get to just see into other worlds and be in other spaces and see understand the world from other people's perspectives. So I think that was those are the best stories to work on for me.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point to bring up. The current project that you guys are actually working on this term for University of Oregon. So it's a much larger project. It's tied into Vanport Mosaic and their 80th anniversary.
So it's this year's the 80-year anniversary of the founding of Vanport, of the city of Vanport. And that the Vanport flood was a foundational key moment in the racial history of Portland, especially. Most of that work and what you're referring to, Laura Loforti and the Vanport Mosaic have been great partners for us, and they've done we have worked with them over the years helping to do some of the oral history, so capturing the stories of people that lived in Vanport. We've been able to work with them, but that's most of the work on that is Laura's and work and her organization. And then her partner Andrew David Gall is part of this program, the co-director of multimedia journalism program. So we're connected in that way. And Andrew oversees the Doers Gathering. And so that, I think for too many specifics about Doers, I think Andrew would be the right person to ask. I can speak to, we're creating a film for the Doers Gathering this year, our students as their capstone project, where we are trying to interface with these community leaders and activists and sort of look at and re-examine what Portland could possibly be. So in light of 80 years since the founding of Vanport, what can we learn from the lessons of Vanport and how can we think about those lessons and apply them to this moment that we're in now? Portland, Portland is a, it, there are a lot, there are so many different layers of the onion of Portland, but right now there are many things that are not, maybe you could say, not going so well in Portland. You can see on different layers and how you want to define that. So we're just trying to, we're creating a short film. Our students are creating a short film that will be part of that Doers Gathering. And ultimately, what's very cool about it is that they will give out these grants to the actual doers, the actual community members who are doing the work, and that's I think Andrew does a good job of not, you know, we're an institution, but trying to center the community and center community leaders and actually let the people who are on the ground determine what is the right way to do the work and help them identify, like, within that community of doers, like who needs the help and who can have the most impact. So that's, as I said, like, I think I'm not so much involved with that side of it. We're involved in making a film that's going to support their efforts and try to create some excitement around that.
There's also another topic that I kind of wanted to talk about, and it was recently brought up in a few different news reportings, and that is that the University of Oregon here in Old Town might possibly be moving.
Oh, yeah. So this came as a surprise to all of us, me especially. We found out a few weeks ago the news that the Balmer Institute, the Balmers have donated I think close to $450 million to create a new behavioral health institute that will, so the primary focus, they work with the School of Education and psychology researchers and creating this new department that focuses on K through 12 behavioral health of school children. But as part of creating this new center, they also purchased the Concordia campus, so that's going to be the location for it. And in as part of that, they're moving. All of us are getting moved there. So I didn't really know that was coming until that news was announced. So we're still adjusting and figuring out what that means for us. But essentially, we think in 2 years from now we will be moving over there. Next year, we know we'll be a planning process to figure out how to make the campus work for us. And then most likely, our best guess is that it would be another year after that to implement all of the building and preparation that would need to get us over there. So at the very soonest, fall of 2023, but probably more like fall of 2024, that they would be moving us over there.
Concordia's campus is over in North Portland, over by the airport, I believe. And it's a big old campus, so supposedly they might also be able to add dormitories or whatnot for students.
It was one of the larger private colleges in the state, and it has already dorms. I think 500 dorm rooms, and it's a full campus. Much more. We're essentially packed into two buildings here in downtown, so we will be expanding. They'll have the new Balmer Institute, but we're not sure what the spaces will look like. But the one thing we've been told is that we'll somehow make use of the dorms, and we're figuring out what that means for us. I'm hoping, from our perspective, that we get to interface more with our students and our faculty from Eugene, that they'll somehow get to come up and take some of our classes. We've been dreaming of, for years, having a low residency program. So essentially we would teach some of our classes online as we do now, and then students could fly in from around the country for, say, 3 to 4 weeks throughout their program, stay in the dorms and do the hands-on portion of their project of their program while they're with us. We'll see what becomes of that. Very personally, like, I'm still in shock about leaving downtown. I love this building and I love this location, and I live just a few miles from here, ride my bike to work,
There's always so much to report on with downtown Portland. Literally, you just walk out the doors with a camera or audio recorder, and you can just be right in the thick of it, right in the middle of the community, and just be reporting instantly.
Yep, I think that's it. I I'm still processing what this means for us to move out of the core of the city. I'm not sure what that's going to look like, but I think the idea of this being here in the center was that of town was that students and faculty from Eugene would come connect with downtown Portland. And so I don't know, it doesn't make as much sense. We'll see what that means to be not right in the core of Portland, to be out on the outskirts. So
I'm curious if, $450 million made my eyebrows raise. My first thought was, wow, we could house everybody in the city for at least 6 months. And then my next thought was, what might be the cost to students with this move? Will tuition raise? Will there be issues with parking or transportation for people that can't afford to live close to the new campus? How will this affect maybe even the community area that the new campus is going to be into? Is that going to change the community and the tapestry of the type of residents that live there, the type of businesses that are there? Are they even going to be able to find housing in that area? And is the price of housing in that area going to go up once a campus moves in across the way?
So again, I'm on the outside, and I know very little about the thinking of the university. There's a saying in a few different cultures that when the elephants fight, the ants suffer. And I feel like I'm closer to the ants than to the elephants. But I'm not privy to the decision-making process, but a couple responses to that. One is that, that was an established college for a very long time. Concordia is one of the oldest schools. So there was already a university or a college type community built up around that campus. And so that community was feeling a sense, this is what I've heard from some of our leadership, that they've been hearing from that community that they were feeling a sense of loss of losing that college community. And they were excited to see another college essentially coming in and filling that gap. So in some ways, there may be some supports that were built up, thinking of a college, of a student atmosphere around that campus. I don't know that much about it. I live in Southeast, and instead of a 8-minute car ride or a 25-minute bike ride, I'm now going to have a 40-minute car ride to get to the new campus. But I think in terms of parking, it has it has parking lots. I think what it doesn't have, we are located with multiple MAX lines that come to our location here in Old Town. We have all of the spokes of the city's transportation system come here to Old Town. I haven't heard the answers yet about how students who rely on public transportation are supposed to get to campus. I've heard some ideas that there's potential that they're going to create some shuttle services that would get them over to the community college campuses or some other hubs. So there's some things that are being talked about that I've heard from. I've only been to a couple meetings so far, but I've heard them talking about trying to figure out how do we address some of these early concerns. I don't even think that the university has done the listening I think that that needs to happen. I think they need to listen to students. I think they need to listen to faculty. They need to listen to the community around them. And my understanding, what I've been told, is that there was a lot of sort of secrecy around keeping this big grant until the ink was signed. They didn't want the word to get out, and so it was sort of revealed. My perspective, awkwardly, where we just suddenly, one day found out that our worlds are changing. So I think, hopefully, and I have faith that some of this will happen. That the university will, have listening sessions with students. I think one of the things that's true is that the student. I think it would be good. I think they should listen to the students that are here now. I think we're talking about 2 years out before this move actually happens, so they need to also consider the students that are not here yet. I think it's going to be that this population, typically in our school, we have students stay here for 1.5 to 2 years as we're primarily graduate programs here in Portland. So, but I think it's important. They need to listen to students. They need to listen to faculty, and then come up with see what they can do in terms of solutions. As far as I've heard. It's a bit of a done deal. It's assuming that things don't get caught up in legal paperwork. The Board of Trustees signed off on it, and so it appears this is happening, whether we like it or not. So it's time to get on board or get out, I guess. So
I'm also wondering, what are your concerns for how this could affect the multimedia program that you're a part of?
I think as far as our program, it's not as ideal for us to be out on the periphery of the city in some ways. I think the advantages to being in the core are that they're really important stories that go on around us. We happen to be in the heart of where all of homeless services are based here, have always been based here in Old Town. And so we have built up some connections to those types of stories, those types of organizations over the years here. I think also being in the core of the city, our students who want to work in who want to work for production studios, who want to work for publications. A lot of those, you know, being in the middle of the city, you have easy connections to all of those things. I think when we go out to one far corner of the city, your distance has increased to some of those. So I think those are the downsides. I think on the upside, we could maybe, you know, we've been making do with spaces that were maybe not intended for multimedia production in this building. You can see the room we're sitting in, we're making the best of it. And I think there's an opportunity that maybe we'll be able to design it and have it be more purposeful as we move to the new place. But I think the dorms will be fantastic. I would really love to see us use those in a way that serves our students and also reach new students that we haven't been able to reach. So that's actually, to me, the most exciting part is if that works the way we think it could work, that we could actually have students coming up. We have a huge program in Eugene, and if we could get more of the students to come up here and work with the professionals that are up here in Portland, I think those things are exciting, and the dorm could help facilitate that. So those are, you know, I think those are pluses and minuses.
Actually, I'm out of questions right now. We've covered a lot of ground, actually. I just kind of want to share maybe one of my favorite moments, because, like, I'm in the program right now here at University of Oregon. Just a Friday, a couple weeks back, me and you went in over here to when the cherry blossoms on the waterfront were in full bloom, and we were able to capture some drone footage, and it was just amazing to be able to just walk right out the doors, walk right over there, and we're already recording and going.
For sure. And you remind me that one of the other issues that I'm having is with the new location is it's right next to the airport. So one of the things I teach is drone cinematography. And, you know, in northeast Portland, we're too close to the airport. We actually won't be allowed to fly drones over there. So we'll have to drive for at least a couple miles before we can get to a place that we can fly drones. So that's not great. There is a system by which we can request temporary permission to fly in a limited way, but it's not ideal.
So if you were asked by, you know, the trustees, the people in charge of this, you know, who maybe listened to this podcast and said, there's some interesting things, maybe we should talk to him. What would you want to ask them to think about or, you know, be aware of when it comes to this move, when it comes to future students, current graduates?
I'm trying to decide how much to hold my tongue or to let it out. Here's the thing. Here's my concern, and again, these things are all, like, I think none of these things are official or permanent or even, I think many of these things are not even decided yet. But my concern or my question that I have is that over the course of the pandemic and with all of the protests and everything that else that has happened to the downtown core, you have over 30 businesses, including Google was starting an expansion in downtown Portland. You had Columbia and a bunch of other businesses that have decided to leave the downtown core of Portland. Then on top of that, that number doesn't include every little mom and pop coffee shop and restaurant and bodega that has gone out of business in downtown Portland. And so if you walk around downtown Portland, it is suffering right now. And I don't see in the next 10 years how that's coming back. Like, I don't see a quick turnaround for downtown Portland.
Unless maybe somebody had $450 million that they want to donate to help improve the community and the actual people that live and work here every day.
So I support the spirit. My wife works in K-12 as a school counselor, and I support the spirit of supporting the mental health and well-being of school children. I think school children, I have two kids, and, you know, I think school children need mental health support. I think that's a really noble cause, a really noble goal. So I support that, and I don't, you know, we live in a world where, unfortunately, you know, wealthy donors get to sort of decide and set the agenda on things. But I think you're raising some really good points. Like this is the world that we live in, and that we have the capitalists who get to decide where the money goes and where the money is given. And so on the one hand, it's a noble cause. On the other hand, is that the best use of that money? I think those are totally valid, very good questions. And my question, so I can't tell the Ballmers how to spend their money. But as a public institution that is a part, that is an arm of the state government, that is here to serve the citizens of Oregon, when we see that the downtown core of Portland is suffering, I would just like to know more about the decision to leave that core behind. I'm wondering how are we serving the public trust when we exit the core and we move out to the periphery, when it's having such a hard time? I would love to hear more about how the U of O is going to sort of fill that void. I think we're adding to the void. We're making the void deeper and bigger by our departure, and I'm concerned about that. So that's just those are my personal questions. I would love to hear more from the leadership about how we plan to, how they plan to address that. Maybe they do. Maybe they have an idea. We haven't been told what's going to happen to this building that we're sitting in. And so, you know, maybe there's some really cool, exciting things that are going to happen here. We just haven't heard what those are yet.
I agree with that. You know, those are a great question. You know, what was the decision making? We'd like to know more, especially why are you leaving an area that's so vital? You know, Portland is a hub for many things, journalism being one of them. You know, there's multiple universities, so there's easy access. And so companies and investors and corporations, they tend to invest more in areas they're already in. So when the trustees have decided to move the university to East Portland, to somewhere near the Portland International Airport, it appears to be a change in priorities maybe for where they want the image of this university to be headed and to shape the community around it. And it definitely feels like some sort of decision to abandon the downtown hub. Very curious.
Yeah, I mean, Corey? In my opinion, honestly, I think like a hybrid model where this still is retained as a satellite campus, maybe even just solely for the School of Journalism and Communication, you know, and still have a part of it, the School of Journalism and Communication being part of the Concordia campus as well. Like, this is a very historic building. You guys got the Made in Oregon sign here. You got the old school water tower up top that says Old Town. I mean, literally, this building is iconic.
Yeah, those are some good landmarks to point out. I think, yeah, that was probably something we should have let our listeners know exactly what building we're talking about. It is right in that downtown area. If you know anything about the Old Town, Chinatown, you're right in the middle of it. And you were right next to, like you said, multiple MAX lines, multiple buses. The Greyhound station's not too far away.
Portland Rescue Mission is across the tracks from us.
The Portland Rescue Mission, yep, that's
Saturday,
right. There is
Saturday market happens right downstairs.
I mean, and then you've got the U.S. Bank Tower has a lot of corporate business going on in it. We've got the news stations are downtown. And then the historic element, which is essential for journalism and for learning things about how the world operates and seeing that big picture view and seeing how all the parts connect.
Yeah, it's an amazing place, and it's been a huge privilege to get to come here and work in this building and the history that's in this building. So I'm going to miss that the most, just coming here and getting to be here and be a part of this place and this this spot in the city. But I think that, we'll see what happens. I don't suspect that we'll get to stay down here. It sounds like the Oregon Executive MBA is in the building across the street. They're on a long-term lease, so they might actually be here. They might actually stay down here. But it sounds like the programs that are in the building that we're in will be relocated unless something changes.
I want to thank you for your time, though, Wes. I know you got other stuff going on today. It's been great talking with you. Where can some of our viewers maybe find you on, like, social media, Twitter, Facebook?
WesPope66 on Twitter, but I'm trying to decide if I'll stick around after Mr. Musk takes over. Popcan Productions is my website.
Okay.
So you can see some of my work there, popcanproductions.com, and then you can Google finds me pretty well.
So yeah, I wanted to thank you and thank the university for having this studio and this space to allow us to speak with you today.
Of course.
It was pretty awesome to be able to come in to this building and see the space. It's quite beautiful in here, truly.
It is. It is a great space. I'm going to miss it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, you guys.
KBOO Portland.